Good morning. You're welcome to Sunday School today, Sunday, May 28, 2023, our third interactive session and quarterly review. We shall review lessons 27 to 38, taught during the quarter as briefly as possible. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another beautiful day. This is a day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. As we review the Sunday School lessons taught in the past few weeks, help us to have a fresh understanding of your word in the name of Jesus, and enable us to put the lessons to good use in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. We started the third quarter with lesson 27, Break the Yoke of Poverty. The first lesson outline dealt with the causes of poverty, which include personal attitude, natural disasters, oppression, and spiritual causes, which are usually due to consequences of sin and wrong beliefs, such as equating poverty to holiness. Lesson 2 outlines what to do to break free from poverty. These include discovery and pursuit of the purpose of living, improvements in chosen trade or career, creation of multiple streams of income, identifying and solving other people's problems, acquisition of additional knowledge, belief in ability to perform, benevolence, regular payment of tithes, offerings, and first fruits, praying and studying the word of God for direction, and refusal to live in debt. We concluded that poverty is not predestined. We therefore ought to change our mindset towards material wealth, knowing that God gives the power to get wealth, according to Deuteronomy 8:18. Lesson 28 was titled Christianity and Wealth. Wealth was defined as the abundance of valuable possessions or money, and the Bible gives examples of people God blessed with great wealth, including Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Solomon, Joanna, and Joseph of Arimathea. Lesson outline one considered various biblical perspectives, including the fact that God owns wealth and honor. He blesses his children with wealth and honor. The houses of those who fear him shall be filled with riches and wealth. Money is not evil, as the Bible says money answers all things, but rather it is a defense, and so on. We must note that the love of money is the root of all evil, according to 1 Timothy 6:10. And that trusting in riches is bad, just as getting wealth through the wrong means. Also, holding wealth so dearly as if it is God is as bad as pursuing wealth to the extreme at the expense of other core values of life. The second outline teaches that believers should not see all wealthy people as sinners and all the poor as righteous. We learned that wealth should be used as a tool for the advancement of kingdom projects, such as promotion of charities and scholarships, ministering to God's servants, and generally supporting God's work. We concluded that in a bid to be wealthy, believers should always remember their first care should be for God's kingdom and his righteousness. Lesson 29, titled Financial Intelligence, took the memory verse from Proverbs 14 verse 8. Financial intelligence was defined as being financially wise and is needed by individuals to be highly successful, in addition, of course, to extra effort, skills, intelligence, and most importantly, God's leading. The first lesson outline describes what personal finance is. Personal finance covers planning and the management of financial activities. These personal financial activities include revenue generation, expenditure, budgeting, savings, investments, and other financial related actions. Those who are versed at all these activities are financially intelligent. Net worth indicates assets minus liabilities. Where assets are sold and all debts paid and the liabilities are greater than the assets, then this indicates a negative net worth. However, Where an individual has more assets than liabilities, the net worth is positive. Let's outline two of us tips on how to be financially intelligent, such as developing a personal success drive and being intentional about your financial well-being, seeking knowledge and being informed, investing in yourself, reading, attending seminars and webinars, research, keeping track of your spending, and having detailed records of your income and expenditure, surrounding yourself with the right people who will help you to improve, and praying for divine wisdom and direction on how to invest resources. We concluded lesson 29 by stressing that financial intelligence is needed to stay on top of your financial game. Moving on to the next topic of rendering help in lesson 30, we learned about who needs our help and how we should help. The first outline identifies the following as those who need our help: our family members, immediate and extended, committed brethren in need, aged or old people, widows and widowers, orphans, the deserted, the poor, the physically challenged, body of believers, as we see in Galatians 6:10, community members, and the society at large. Helping could include offering of provisions directly to the needy or linking them to sources of help to get good jobs, to pay bills, obtain scholarships for children's school fees. However, rendering help should not be an excuse for people to become lazy and indulge in begging. Again, as believers, we must always remember that all our possessions come from God, who owns everything, and so we must be encouraged to give to the needy or render helpful services without expecting anything back, as doing this results in blessings and makes us Christ-like. The second outline shows how we should help by rendering help in love as a service to God and by giving. What matters is the state of heart of the giver more than the size of the gift. We should give generously, willingly, cheerfully, and not under duress, as taught by Paul. In conclusion, God loves it when we give, and He will pay back in ways we least imagine. We next treated Christian social responsibility, CSR, in lesson 31. We learned that our relationships with one another and the society must be patterned according to the character of God, and it is our responsibility to care for those around us. In lesson outline one, which discusses the meaning and biblical perspectives of CSR, we learned that the church should be an example for the world to follow, as we see in Matthew 5:16. Considering the biblical perspectives in Leviticus 19:9-10, God instructed harvesters to glean their fields, so some harvest is left for the poor. Jesus Christ also demonstrated CSR by providing surplus food for about 5,000 men, not counting women and children, in Matthew 14, 15 to 21. And in Acts 2, 44 to 45, the apostles used their wealth to take care of the needy. The benefits of CSR are several. These include enablement of people to see and know the meaning of the love of God. The less privileged in the society's needs are met. It promotes evangelism and entrenches the church of God in the hearts and minds of people. It also encourages positive impact on the environment and complements government's efforts in providing and sustaining the standard of living for people in the community, and so on and so forth. We concluded that CSR is not to seek commendation from men, but to show the love of God and be a blessing to our communities. Lesson 32 topic was mental health. Mental health is important because it affects the whole being, as we see in Proverbs 4:23. In the first outline, mental health was defined as a state of well-being in which every individual can realize his or her potentials, cope with the normal stress of life, work productively, and participate meaningfully in the community. And this includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. Mental ill health, on the other hand, is defined as a psychological disorder affecting one's mood, thinking, and behavior. This includes a broad state of disorders spanning mild depression to schizophrenia, which is the inability to think, feel, process, respond to life situations appropriately. It's important to learn about mental illness because it can distort one's view of God and others, hence contributing to sinful behavior. The Bible documents those who suffered issues ranging from depression to loneliness, hopelessness, suicide, rejection, and even insanity. The second outline identifies causes and solutions of mental illness. Causes range from child abuse, trauma or neglect, loneliness, discrimination or oppression, poverty, death of loved ones, debt, loss of courage and self-esteem, stress, difficulties, and spiritual forces. Solutions include understanding that failure and challenges are part of human life, so we should prepare for them. Also, investments in a good social network and godly relationships are important. Loneliness and isolation should be avoided. Good sleep is encouraged so that the brain restores itself. Regular exercises help to expunge toxic chemicals from the body, and drug abuse should be avoided. In summary, God's desire for all his children is to be healthy, body, soul, and spirit, and good mental health is necessary for good daily living. Lesson 33 is titled Managing Difficult People, started by defining a difficult person as being one or more of the following. Either the person is snobbish or argumentative, quarrelsome, selfish, insensitive, or rude. Difficult people often stir up trouble and have certain personality traits that make it difficult to relate with them. The first outline details how to identify difficult people. There are many categories of difficult people, some of which most of us will fall into at one point in time or the other. What is important, however, is how to manage people of these at these times, which is what we have in the second outline. We must endeavor to model the examples provided by Jesus, such as calmness, understanding other person's intentions, building a rapport, escalating to a higher authority for resolution, and applying wisdom. We concluded that dealing with difficult people is an exercise in patience, love, and grace. We then moved to lesson 34, relational trust, where we listed in lesson outline one the attributes of a trustworthy person as tenacious, resolute, steady, tested, accountable, holistic, and reliable. In the second outline, being trustworthy, we learned that being trustworthy is intentional, planned, and purposeful. It is consciously earned, not entrusted to an individual. It usually has a price tag of sacrifices to be paid by one who chooses to be trustworthy. We need God's help to be trustworthy. It is the bedrock of a lasting relationship. It has rewards such as peace of mind, boldness, and crown of honor, while consequences of distrust include shame, dishonor, and loss of opportunities. The conclusion we arrived at is that trust is significant to any relationship we may build because it is this trust in one another that forms the foundation of a strong relationship. Lesson 35 was titled Ravish Your Spouse. So we talked about key roles of spouses for a successful marriage. For instance, a good husband is expected to celebrate his wife always, protect and shield her from being disrespected by others, respect her opinions, not force her to give up on her dreams, focus always on her strengths, not to lose the romance in the union by remembering important dates like birthdays, wedding anniversaries, and so on. He should be humorous and so on. And the good wife is expected to be her husband's helper, be a woman of virtue, be submissive to him, be spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and recreationally knitted together with her husband, be a caring homekeeper, meeting his sexual needs rather than using it as a weapon of denial and celebrating her husband as a king. The conclusion was that when we sweeten our relationships with our spouses, the bliss will be last longing. We then moved on to lesson 36, Marriage Influencers, which addresses what becomes of marriage depending on what a couple understands it to be and the factors that positively or negatively influence such understanding. The management of such influence will determine whether or not there'll be peace, progress, happiness in the marriage. As usual, we had two lesson outlines, and the first one considered negative influencers, which include friends in toxic relationships whose marriages seem not to be working, inordinate pursuit of money or career, undue attention to social media instead of paying attention to each other, character defects, close relationship with ex-lovers or the opposite sex, which can trigger unforeseen sexual immorality, excessive jealousy, which happens when either partner is too possessive, and addiction, which include habits like gambling and drug abuse. The second lesson outline reveals positive influencers as trust and understanding, which is very key in any union. Selflessness and mutual support, praying together and keeping Christ at the center of the relationship, building the new home together, spending quality time together, guarding and managing your thoughts, cultivating work-life balance, never going to bed angry, speaking kind and uplifting words to each other, avoiding nagging, being reasonable with family finance, and finally forgiveness, and concluded that every marriage is a work in progress, and so we must be intentional to make it work. This brought us to lesson 37, divorce is costly. We learned that though people considering divorce often think they have reason to do so, God wants his children to understand that marriage covenant is serious and should not be broken. And the first of two outlines, God hates divorce, is found in Malachi 2:16. We also learned that marriage symbolizes the covenant God has with his people. We further learned that when we break the marriage covenant, it grieves God, as a major purpose of establishing marriage by God is to have godly offspring. A man and a woman are therefore expected to commit to each other for life and rear children who will also understand the concept of the covenant. Children reared in a healthy two-parent home have a far greater likelihood of establishing successful marriages themselves. And the second outline enumerates grave consequences of divorce, which are several. Where divorce is being considered due to betrayal of trust, such as adultery, there should be room for forgiveness. However, if the relationship is toxic, involving assaults, for instance, it's better both parties separate for a while to avoid consequences such as murder, while genuine ministers of God try to intervene. We concluded that believers should do everything possible, including consulting God, the author of marriage, to make marriage work. And finally, we considered child abuse last week, and is defined as any maltreatment of a child that causes the child harm. It's an important lesson because the Bible teaches that whosoever harms a child is asking for God's anger. We also looked at the three forms of child abuse, including physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. And we enumerated the signs and prevention of child abuse in the second outline, which includes signs like aggressive behavior, low esteem, sleeping difficulties, bruises, and so on and so forth. A lot must be done to train children the godly way. And finally, correction of wrongdoing should be directed towards healing and reforming the child. So that brings us to the end of the third quarterly review. Let us pray. Say, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give me the grace and enablement to remember that which I have been taught, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.